Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
So excited to have you here today, and really, it's going to be cool. We're in the middle of our Words to Live By series, which has been awesome. We talked about inviting people and about generosity, and next week, our very own Pastor John Lindell is going to be finishing off the series, going to be preaching it down, and so you want to be inviting people to next week. It'll be really cool, and when you think about these words to live by, they're kind of like the foundation for what it means to be a believer, what it means to live as a believer, that when we align ourselves with the Word of God, that makes a huge difference in our life, and it's the foundation for everything else that happens in our life. And so today, we're going to be talking about another word to live by, but I was thinking about this idea of foundation, and I happened to be driving in my neighborhood the other day, and it was kind of early in the morning, and I noticed they're building this lot across the street from our house. And it's exciting times, especially for the kids, because, you know, they're building a house next to us. And, you know, we have she's 13 months. Haley's laughing at me. She's like, don't even know your kid's own age, you know? Thanks, Haley. A lot of grace on the front row over here. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know any of my kids' ages. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so anyway, she's 13 months old. But she's still, you know, a baby, you know. So when there's building across the street, we've like got like multiple sound machines going in her room to make sure she stays asleep. So it's kind of like, oh man, it's building. But for the boys, it's really exciting because, you know, they have like every truck book known to man, which are like some of the most exciting reading on the planet is reading a truck book. But if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Anyway, they're looking out the window like, Dad, that's a pumper truck and that's a cement truck. And I'm like, yeah, it's so cool, man. That's awesome. And so this house is being put up. But the person who's building this particular house, they build like 150 homes a year, building a ton of houses. And you'd think when somebody's building that many houses, like you kind of wonder what their level of engagement is on building on a particular project. But I was driving in the neighborhood, it was early in the morning, and I noticed the builder was out at the house all by himself, and he got out of his truck, and he started walking, and they just laid the footings. They're just putting in the foundation. He started walking and looking around, and he had his tape measure with him, and he's measuring the footings, and then he went to the back of the lot and was kind of looking at the footings and making sure everything lines up right. And I thought, how interesting that this person who builds so many homes a year feels that the foundation is so important, that he's going to come out early in the morning to make sure the foundation is right. Because you know, if the foundation is wrong and he comes later on in the project and the foundation is off, that's gonna affect the entire project. That multiple things are gonna be messed up if the foundation is messed up. But he knows if he gets the foundation right, that that's gonna affect everything else in a positive way. I'll tell you, if we get our lives foundationally aligned with the Word of God, if what's happening in our soul is healthy because we've lined up our lives with the Word of God, then that will affect the fruit of our lives. That will affect everything else that happens in our life. Maybe you're here and you're like, man, my life seems like a mess. I want to encourage you to step back and take a look at the foundation. Do you have a healthy walk with God? What are you living your life out of the Word of God? Because I promise you, if you line your life up with the Word of God, it will change every area of your life. And that's why what we're talking about today in Words to Live By is so important, because when we align ourselves with the Word of God, it makes a huge difference in our life. And today's word to live by, ladies and gentlemen, is thankfulness. Everybody say thankfulness. Man, just the word thankfulness gets me excited for Thanksgiving dinner. Are you excited for Thanksgiving dinner, man? Pumpkin pie, stuffing from inside the bird. How many of you are like, if it's not coming out of the turkey, I don't want to eat it. Stuffing. That's the best stuffing. I see a few nodding heads. I see a few people, you've never tried it. You just don't know. Try it from inside the bird. Even if you're a vegan, you can eat stuffing from inside the bird. It's amazing. That's not in the notes. Thankfulness. I want to speak to you just for a few moments from the subject. Get ready. Thankfulness will change your life. Say it will change your life. Turn to somebody and say, it will change your life. Because when we get our eyes off of ourselves and we put them on God and put them on His goodness and put them on the people around us and all the good things He's given us, that will radically change our lives. That changes our perspective. That changes our faith. That changes our ability to have joy when we get our eyes off ourselves and get them on the goodness of God. Get ready, because a little thankfulness today is gonna change your life. And so I wanna give you three principles on thankfulness. Two of them are the why behind thankfulness, and then one of them is how we put thankfulness into practice. But get ready, it's gonna change your life. First of all, thankfulness is grounded in recognition. Thankfulness is grounded in recognition. And as we go into this thought, this subject of thankfulness, I wanna look at Psalm chapter 136. Psalm 136. This would have been a famous hymn in ancient Israel. They literally sang it in Solomon's temple. This would have been one of the favorites, and it recognizes God's goodness, but also thanks Him for what He's done. And it shows us the importance of thankfulness and how it works. Let's look at it. Psalm 136. It says, give thanks to the Lord for what? For He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His steadfast love endures forever. Now, I want you to take note of that first verse. It says, give thanks to the Lord for what? For He is good. Thankfulness is grounded in recognition. It's grounded in the fact that we serve not only an almighty God, not only an all-powerful God, not only an all-knowing God, but we serve a good God. How many of you excited that we serve a good God? The Bible says He is good, and what? He does good. The Bible says we serve a God who literally rises to show compassion. He literally gets up to show compassion. He longs to be gracious to you. He longs to show you compassion. I don't know if that's how you see God, but I want to challenge you to change your perspective and align your perspective with the Word of God. Do you believe that God wants to do good to you? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God's looking for an opportunity to be gracious to you? Well, I'm here today to tell you that's what Scripture says. That's what the Bible says God wants to do for you. He wants to be gracious to you. He longs to be good to you. He is good and does good. You know, James says this, that every good and perfect thing comes down, every good gift, perfect gift, comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. That means every good thing that we have you, that's mind-blowing. Every good thing, every single good thing that we have is from God. The coffee you drank this morning is from God. The jeans you're wearing are from God. The car you drove is from God. I think we should start a new hashtag, because most of the things we put on social media are the good things that are happening in life. Hashtag thank Him. So, you know, when you post that ribeye, all right, and you're like, I'm a master griller, you should say, this is a great ribeye, hashtag thank Him, all right? And when you post that selfie and you're like, man, I am looking so good, hashtag thank Him. He gave you your good looks. Hey, you know what? When you eat Thanksgiving dinner and everything is perfectly separated out on your plate and you're like, that looks like a good plate, hashtag thank Him. But if you're a mixer, people, and you really know how to eat Thanksgiving dinner and you mix it all together, you take a pic of that beautifully mixed Thanksgiving meal and you say, hashtag thank Him, because every single good thing comes from God. Every single, the breath in your lungs comes from God. Every single, the opportunities you get, they come from God. The job you have, it came from God. The money you have, it came from God. Hashtag thank Him. And when we recognize and give Him the proper recognition that He deserves, that builds faith in our heart. You know, if you're a person that you struggle having faith, you find yourself living in a skeptical place, you find yourself in your relationship with God kind of being like, man, I don't know if God wants to help me. I don't know if God wants to be near to me. I don't know how, you know, this works. And I when I come to pray, I feel like I'm almost in a bargaining position with God, as though you have to find common ground in order to get Him to help you. God, would you do this? Because I think this would work out for you as well as it would work out for me. I think this would be a good thing for you, God, and a good thing for me. So I think if you help me, this will work out for both of us. This common ground, almost like you have to sell God on helping you. But the Bible says that's not how it works with God. That every good thing we have is from Him. And when you start from that position, God, thank you so much for my family. God, thank you for so much for every blessing. God, thank you so much that you saved me. God, thank you so much that you gave me a hope and a future. You know, your past sins, your present sins, your future sins are all taken care of on the cross. And the Bible says, if he didn't spare his own son, how much more will he give you all things? All things are a lot of things. All things for life and godliness. That's the kind of God we serve. And when we come with a thankful heart and a thankful perspective and a thankful position, that allows faith to rise in our heart. That makes us come to God and say, God, I'm excited to come to you and present my need before you and ask you to help me because I know you're a God who helps people. And God, you help me here and you help me here. And God, you help me here. So I know this is nothing for you. And I thank you for your goodness now. And I'll thank you for your goodness after you help me. There's a power and a faith-filledness that comes when we become a thankful people. It honors God when we're a thankful people, when we give him the recognition he deserves. Thankfulness is grounded in that recognition that our God is a good God. He loves to give good things to his children. He cares so much about you. He cares so much about your need. He cares so much about what you're walking through. And if you could see his heart for you, and God responds to faith, and when we move ourselves out of grace and faith, we find ourselves in a position where we cannot receive the blessings God wants to give us because we only can receive from God when we receive through faith. That faith that says, God, I believe you're good. God, I believe that you died for me. God, I believe you love me, so I receive from you. But if we position ourselves outside of faith and we come with what I would call a destructive cycle of unthankfulness. God, I don't know if you want to help me. I don't know if you were lacking faith. We were not able to receive. Therefore, we don't receive. And then, therefore, it almost becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy of, I knew he wasn't going to do it anyway, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's a bad place to live. It's a destructive place to live. But when we come and we say, God, you've done this, and you've done this, and you've done this. God, thank you so much that I have another day to live. Thank you so much that I have an opportunity. Thank you that there's grace. You know, the Bible says there's new mercies every morning. You have a hope and a future today. Just because you got up and you're in Christ, there's hope for you. And God loves you. And the best is yet to come for you. And you're in a place to receive from God. And that's a powerful thing. Thankfulness is grounded in recognition. Number two, thankfulness produces satisfaction. You know, joy and thankfulness, they go together. They're kind of like Simon and Garfunkel, all right? Like peanut butter and jelly, like bacon and eggs, like turkey and cranberry sauce, like Batman and Robin, like, give me another one. Mac and cheese! You know, somebody yelled that out in second service. That must be like, you guys, that must just be on everybody's heart today. Like a little mac and cheese. Man, a good mac and cheese, that is good. Like mac and cheese. Joy and thankfulness, they go together. You know, Paul says this, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in every circumstance. Be joyful, pray, and give thanks. What is joy? Joy is an excitement and a joy that comes from God, an excitement about what God's done and what he's going to do. Prayer is an open line of communication with God, and thankfulness is saying, God, you've helped me in the past. I know you're going to help me in the future. Paul says when you live like that, it's a powerful thing. Joy and thankfulness. You know, you often see joy and thankfulness together in Scripture. Let's look at it in Psalms. It says this, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Joy and thankfulness. You know, if you want to be a joyful person, then you need to be a thankful person because it's not people that are happy that are thankful. It's not happy people that are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy, all right? It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are actually the happy ones. So when you see somebody full of joy, don't go, well, of course they're thankful. They're just naturally a happy person because they're running around singing Disney songs all the time. No. You got to think, that must be a thankful person, and that's why they're happy. And you know, studies actually show that this is true. There's a study by the University of California and University of Miami that they actually put people and tracked them, had them journal about their life experiences throughout the week. And some of them, they told them to journal and recognize the things that they were thankful for intentionally. Others, they said, they told them not to do anything specific. And then others, they said, you know what, actually document the things that didn't go well. They found this, that the people who were thankful actually were happier. Can you believe that? They were happier, but I'll tell you this as well. They slept better too. Come on, people. Come on, there's a reason to be thankful, all right? Not only will you be happier, but you'll sleep well. That is a good reason to be thankful. Joy and thankfulness go together. You know, anything, any blessing that we get that we don't turn to praise will turn to pride. Any blessing that we get that we don't turn to praise will turn to pride. You know what pride does? Pride puts our eyes on ourselves. Pride blinds us to the good things that are happening around us. Pride can make it all about us. You know, pride makes it where the things that maybe you could be, you could have full, be full of things and see nothing. That's what pride does. Now, just as a point of survey, how many of you would say you're an above average driver? Above average drivers in the room, up high, above average drivers. Ooh, lots of above average drivers. This is where you all were. You're all our above average drivers are in the third service. The above average drivers came to third service. So for how many of you are like, I'm a below average driver. Anybody? Below average driver. I love that. I was surprised how many hands went up for below average driver, but you are such an honest group of people, and that's a wonderful thing. God will bless you for that. So for the above average drivers, maybe you're driving home and you're trying to avoid all the below average drivers on your way home, and you pull in the garage and you shut the garage door. And then you go to the refrigerator and you open up the fridge and it's full of food. And you say, after staring at it for a while, there is nothing to eat. All right, so then you decide to go upstairs and change your clothes and you go in your closet, which maybe has lots of clothes, and you look around and you go, there is nothing to wear because you went to the mall to buy something where there was nothing to buy. And then you went down to you go down to your couch to watch TV. So you have nothing to eat, nothing to wear. Might as well go down and watch TV. You look through the hundreds of channels on the television. You say there is nothing to watch. All right. Isn't it funny how we can have so much and see so little? You know, that's a picture of kind of how pride works. Pride, even though there could be so much abundance around us, it causes us to be blinded to the abundance and see the lack, to be blinded to what is there and see what isn't there. Pride ruins relationships through causing us to see not the good things, but to see the bad things, to cause us to see how things affect us. Pride gives us an entitlement mentality, a mentality that says we deserve. It's based on what we deserve. And so we can find ourselves moving into a blame. Blame for people that say, well, if they would just do what they should do, then that my life's so bad because they're not doing what they should do. But if they would do what they did and that person didn't do that to me, then it would be so much better. And I can tell you, I'd be a person of joy if people would just get their act together around me. That's a pride that causes you to see what's wrong with everybody else instead of seeing the good things that God's given you, the good people God's put in your life, the good blessings that he's given you. Pride can cause us to compare. Once again, it's based on what we deserve. It can say, well, they shouldn't have got that. I work so much harder than they work. Why did they get that blessing? Why did they get that? Man, I'm just as gifted as they are. Why did they get that? Pride, and it's destructive, and it causes us to lose our joy. It causes us to lose really what we already have and to be blinded to the good things God's given us. But an attitude and a gratitude that says, God, I'm going to give you the praise, that what that does is actually gives us everything back that we don't think we have. You know, you can be in an attitude or have a spirit that's proud, or maybe a spirit that's less thankful than you should be, but just in one moment, if you start to lift up thanks, then God will lift up your eyes and you'll begin to get back every good thing that you have. When you start to thank God for the things that you have, it brings a joy to your life and a grace to your life. So you don't have to live that way. Maybe you find yourself slipping in there or find yourself, man, maybe I've really lost my joy. I want to encourage you to lift up a little thanksgiving and watch God bring joy back into your life in a powerful way. Thankfulness brings satisfaction and joy into our lives. Finally, thankfulness is expressed in action. Thankfulness is expressed in action. Psalm 136 says this. We looked at it earlier. It says what? Give thanks. Give thanks. Thankfulness is something that we give. You know, oftentimes we can say, I have an attitude of gratitude, but an attitude of gratitude is different than an action of gratitude. For example, if I come home, maybe it's a busy season, And Beth, being the wonderful wife that she is, she decides to give me a gift. And she, her gift is, she's like, man, he's been working hard and I just want to bless him. I just want to give him a gift. And so when I come home, she, you know, the house is all clean. Candles are lit, food. She maybe ordered some delicious Chinese food. And we got the kids eating cashew chicken and they're in their pajamas and they're all bathed. And she says, babe, I just want to give you a gift. I want to bless you. You know, why don't you, you know, after you're done eating, why don't you go out, do something fun? You know, I'll put the kids down. I thought, wow. But I don't say a word, all right? I eat the Chinese food. I go change my clothes. And before I walk out, I go, peace, it's been real. All right, I can tell you this, that there will be a conversation in my future. And it would be a loving conversation, but she would lovingly express the fact that she might feel a bit unappreciated by my actions. But if I say in that conversation, babe, you misunderstand. It's all right. I need to let you know right now, there's plenty of gratitude going around because I am cultivating an attitude of gratitude. She's gonna say, well, that attitude about gratitude better make it to your lips because no, you didn't. I am gonna tell you what, that is not gonna help this marriage, all right? Because it's not just an attitude of gratitude that's effective. It's when our attitude affects our actions. You know, our life is directed by two things, what happens in our heart and what comes out of our mouth. They're linked together. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what comes out of our mouth really is an indicator of what's happening in our heart. But if we say we're cultivating an attitude of gratitude, but it's never making it to our lips, then we can be clear and know that that's not really in our heart. But when we develop that in our heart, it's going to come out of our mouth. You know, it's so important that when it comes to giving gratitude to the Lord. And when it comes to giving gratitude to those in our lives, that we don't just cultivate an attitude of gratitude, but we say so. We don't just cultivate an attitude of gratitude, but it makes it out to our lips because attitude without action is ineffective. You know, I'm gonna ask the musicians to come and I wanna tell you a story about Jesus and his disciples. In Luke 17, we hear this story of Jesus and he's traveling with his disciples between Samaria and Galilee. And as he's traveling, 10 lepers come and they're at a distance. They cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, it's important for us to understand that leprosy in that day ostracized you from the community. It made you an outcast. You could not be around people that were not lepers because you were seen as unclean. In fact, you had to wear certain clothes, you had to have your hair messed up, and anytime you saw anybody, you had to yell out so they wouldn't get near you, unclean. And so this obviously created all kinds of sadness when people had leprosy because they were not allowed to be around their family anymore. They were put in a position of an outcast. And plus that, they were diseased. They're probably gonna die from their disease. And so these men are in a desperate situation and they cry out to Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus, having compassion on them, he says to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, what Jesus was telling them is in that day, if you were gonna like, no longer be a leper, you felt like you were healed or maybe something happened and you were healed and you didn't have leprosy, they thought you had leprosy, but you didn't. In order to re-engage with the community, you had to get a clean bill of health from the priest. The priest had to see you and say, it's okay for you to re-engage with the community. And so Jesus is saying, go show yourself to the priest. And on their way, the Bible says, on their way, as they're going to show him, God touches each one of them, all 10 of them, and heals them of their leprosy. Now, as you can probably imagine, they were pretty excited. They all of a sudden get to re-engage with their family. They all of a sudden get to re-engage with their community. They're really excited and celebrating. But one of them, the Bible says, thinks, oh, I need to go back. He turns around, he goes back, so they knew where Jesus was. And he goes to Jesus and he says, thank you. Thank you for healing me. And Jesus commends him for doing that, but also asks this question. He says, weren't there 10 people that were healed, but yet only one has come back? Only one's giving glory to God. Only one's expressing thankfulness for what's happened. And Jesus is highlighting this truth that our gratitude, our thankfulness, if it's not expressed, it's dead. If we don't express it, it's dead. If you might feel like, man, I feel like I'm a thankful person, but if you're not expressing that thankfulness to God, it's dead. If you're not expressing that thankfulness to those around you, it's dead, because attitude without action is ineffective. And let's be people that, you know what? When God does something good in our life, we're not just gonna leave it with like, oh, that was good. But we're gonna say, God, I'm gonna express thanksgiving to you. I'm gonna express, because that's where the joy is. That's where the faith building is. That's where the excitement, that's where the presence of God is. You know how I know the presence of God comes in when we express that? Because the Bible says in Psalms 100, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. As we begin to lift up and express our thankfulness to God, his presence comes in. And his presence is what changes our life. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you find yourself here today and you're like, when it comes to believing God, you're like, man, I'm walking not just not faith-filled, but I'm full-on like skeptic. Like, I don't believe God, and I don't know about God wanting to help me. I want to encourage you. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you today, and he's telling you, you know what? The answer isn't trying to be less skeptical. The answer is opening up your eyes to the good things I've already done in your life and expressing praise to me. And you watch as you do that to God, how God fills your heart with faith. Maybe you're here and you're struggling with joy. You're like, honestly, not a very joyful person, not a very happy person. And the answer is not, how can I try to be more happy? Maybe if I get more, or do this or do that. The answer is, I'm gonna give glory to God. I'm gonna thank him for what he's done. I'm gonna thank the people in my life. I'm gonna be a thankful person. You watch how joy enters your life. That's God's heart for you. Because like the psalm said earlier, he is good. God wants to do good to you. God loves you so much. In this very psalm where it talks about thanking the Lord, I love how it ends in the Message version, because it really brings to light what God's done for us or wants to do in your life. And I wanna close with this. It says Psalm 136, verse 23. God remembered us when we were down. His love never quits. He rescued us from the trampling boot. His love never quits. Takes care of everyone in time of need. His love never quits. Thank God who did it all. His love never quits. He'll never give up on you. He loves you. He never gets tired of you. He never doesn't care about you. His love never quits for you. I don't know where you're at or how you feel about God, but you need to align yourself with the word of God and say, you know what? I'm gonna believe in your goodness. And God, I know your love never quits. You're never gonna give up on me, because there's a God who loves you and cares about you and wants to do good to you. His love never quits. His love never quits. That's the God we serve. You know, one of my favorite things about God is that he never gets tired. Because if you ever, I don't know, if you ever come to God and you're like just praying about something and maybe you're tired and you're like, oh, that's tired, God, and I don't really want to do this right now. Then sometimes I just think God doesn't feel that way, which is awesome. God, you don't get tired. You're not here thinking, oh, there's another need. Oh, it's you again. No, God's not like that. God never wears out. He never gets tired. He's always ready to help, always ready to work in our lives. And the Bible says he's faithful. Great is his faithfulness, always there, always nearby. And that's God's heart for you. And God wants to give you hope. He loves you. His love never quits for you. Open your eyes to the good things that he has for you, because I promise you it'll change your life.